from Quentin Tarantino films throughout the show today to celebrate the birth of a great director and a marginal actor.
He's an odd bird,
He's like Alfred Hitchcock. He's an okay actor. He's a great director. Great storyteller. Great writer. And a whack job, as it were.
He's a whack job. No doubt.
Will there be a movie called Tarantino someday, you think, Matty T, about his life like they did for Hitchcock?
Yeah, but it'll be all shots of women's feet. Electric Avenue. He's got a foot fetish.
Oh, he does?
That's why in all of his movies, you know, there's...
Will Rex Ryan be in his movie?
Remember in Jackie Brown, you got Bridget Fonda's legs and feet right there on Robert De Niro's coffee cup?
Boy.
He's got to move it over.
The other parts of her body that were on Robert De Niro that bothered me. grossed me out. Okay, so it is 10:35. We are patiently awaiting the arrival of one Bruce Cross. He'll be joining us here in the studio in a bit. He's going to talk to us about Speak of the Devil. Come on in. He's on the 7-second delay. Didn't know he was supposed to come in yet.
That's right.
There he is.
7-second delay.
He is the Zone's official attorney. We don't own him, but we borrow him from time to time for legal rulings.
Free? Or do we have to... Can we bill...
He's on retainer.
Mr. Johnson?
Really?
Now you guys tell me.
I know.
I'd have been living a lot...
Buddy, you and I have not needed an attorney anytime recently, which is good news. Bruce is with Cross, Gunter, Witherspoon, and Galkus. Is that right? Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, you did well.
I'll ask you every time you come in probably how to pronounce that last one.
Okay.
Yours is easy. Cross is easy. Anyway, we were talking about the situation at Northwestern, and as Pat said just moments ago, it's going to change the face of college sports, and you sounded ominous about the whole thing.
Then
you started talking about going up in the rapture, so I don't know how much of that was real.
As long as this has been going on, that you never thought it would stick. Because people talk about it, and you see the lawsuits by the O'Bannon brothers and some other things, and then you get old athletes who say, yeah, well, I wish it was this way. And it just never seemed like it was going to stick.
Right.
But after hearing what happened yesterday and reading some more about it and seeing how these guys are now dedicated to trying to make something change with how athletes and college sports have worked, I can't see how it's not going to change forever.
It'll be interesting. I mean, I've been a labor lawyer for representing businesses for 30 years, and things have changed so rapidly, particularly in the past 3 or 4 years, and so that's made a significant difference. But this particular decision, first, let's put it in perspective. This is a decision that was rendered by a regional director in Chicago. It's the first step in a long process, okay? They had a hearing to decide whether or not these people were employees. Are these students employees, student-athletes employees? That was what the decision was all about. From there, there'll be likely an appeal to the National Labor Relations Board in Washington, D.C. That's a 5-member board appointed basically by the president. The odds are good, given the makeup of that board right now, I would not at all be surprised if that decision is affirmed at the board level. From there, you go to an appeal to a court of appeals, most likely the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, and from there, potentially, up to the U.S. Supreme Court. So we've got an extended period of time, most likely, before any decision ultimately comes down. That also gives the NCAA an opportunity to sort of figure out what are they going to do in all of this, because the NCAA plays a part in all of this. If you read the decision, and it's a fairly long decision, it's about 24 pages long, primarily they're aiming at the fact that these student athletes are under a lot of restrictions that other students are not. And the university had tried to include walk-ons as an alternative part. They said, well, look, walk-ons have to do the same thing that these athletes have to do. They have to get up. They have to be at practices. They have to have the study hours. They have to do all these other things. And they said, yes, but they don't get the grant and aids. And these people are recruited not for education, but they're recruited for their athletic prowess. And that's how they distinguished this group from, let's say, research assistants, graduate students, and other individuals. And they went back to a basic decision, who's an employee? An employee is somebody that basically comes to work for you and provides a benefit to you as an employer. Well, what do these people do? They come to a university, they sell jerseys, they sell tickets, they sell, you know, memorabilia, they sell whatever they sell.
Right.
And they get no compensation. Now, the problem associated with all this is not even just this. You can see this thing expanding dramatically. I could see arguments being made that not only must they be paid, so now you got to come up with compensation to pay them for their time, but what if they're injured? Well, of course, there's health plans, but, you know, you got more than 50 football players, yeah. Or when you combine it, we don't even have to limit ourselves to football. Any athletic grandinates.
Hey, there's a lot of college athletes that well into the 50s is still failing track and field, knees, hips.
So you've got all of that. You've got the potential for somebody saying, well, I was injured while I was in soccer practice, so I need to file workers' comp because I'm an employee. So now yeah. You've got these workers' comp claims that could potentially be filed in various states. Now, understand also that the National Labor Relations Act only applies to private businesses. So, like...
Private schools, not the private...
Private school. So like the University of Arkansas, Ohio State University, you know...
You mean the Ohio State?
The Ohio State University, Iowa State University for
but it
you,
does
Justin.
Apply. But it does apply to Notre Dame for you.
It does apply
so
to Notre Dame
why
for
North,
me.
Northwestern
Northwestern, Rice, Vanderbilt, BYU. You know, you could go down a laundry list of schools, but you could also... take this decision and say, what about Harding? You know, if they have grant and aid scholarships for Harding or at OBU, it could apply to those schools just as well, you know, under these sets of criteria that were announced here. But like I said, we've still got a long way to go. Yeah. But there's a lot of issues that are side issues to all of this once you create employment status for these student-athletes.
Their argument has been, Bruce Cross joining us in the studio, attorney, talking about the legal ramifications of the decision that was made yesterday involving Northwestern's players' effort to unionize. You know, you got Title IX issues now that come up. What about non-revenue producing sports? What do you do there? Does it impact potentially the availability of athletic opportunities for men and women at the collegiate level?
Yeah, you have all of those opportunities. Then you have, what about the tax issues? I mean, they've never been withholding taxes from anybody's student aid. Yeah. Now you've got IRS potential issues because now if these people are employees and you're having to compensate them, they're going to have, you know, W-4s and you're going to
have
all
of
that.
Let me ask you this because, you know, the more we think about this, and you obviously bring up so many different variables that somebody like myself would never even think of, whether it's the tax issue.
Of those.
And Justin would think of all those things because that's what he does. Don't we already have a blueprint, though, of how to handle that? It's like, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about taking the blueprint of any other company in the entire world and just running it like that company. It's like saying at the Buzz, well, how are we going to deal with paying all our employees? We got to deal with tax. We got to deal with insurance. We got to deal with workers' comp. Isn't the blueprint already there? Let's just use the blueprint that every other company in the world uses and apply it to college sports.
Well, I mean, that's fine if you want to treat, you know, those student athletes as truly athletes. And just only that's why they're there. They're not there to get an education. They're not there for a 40-year deal. I know when I was at Notre Dame, I mean, I had a couple of roommates that were college football players. And I did crew, so, I mean, that's different. But, I mean, I was getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning with those guys. I was going down to the lake instead or to the river to row, but they were going, you know, to do their meetings and then go on to practice. You know, they had some benefits that I didn't have because they had certain things that they could do.
They were getting paid under the table.
They're getting paid under the table, of course. And they never slid me anything.
Right.
But, you know, so anyhow, those there are lots of students at a lot of places. But at the same time, at a lot of these private universities, they're trying to intermix these students into. I mean, it's not just like a major – you know, Texas or some place like that where you've got thousands and hundreds of thousands of students and all these people and all of these athletic people and you know, they're trying to assimilate them into a college life, and they're making it a commitment. You know, we're trying to get you a degree. We want you to have a degree, and we want you to get there, and ultimately.
Yeah, it's one thing to have a Jabari Parker who clearly ain't there for the education. Right. He's there to play basketball and then go play in the NBA, which is fine. But 90%, I mean, I don't know, I'm just throwing a number out there. Whatever the number is, a high percentage of college athletes are never going to play professional sports.
Right.
No, 90% won't. But
you
of that 90
professional crew, did you? You didn't row professional.
Right. No,
of that 90%, do you know how many think they will? Like, I fall into the 90% that didn't play in the NBA.
Yeah.
But I thought I was.
No, but Pat,
and I approached it like I thought I would.
But I'm talking about there are so many sports where you know you're not going to have an opportunity. I mean, you know, as a crew guy or a soccer player in most cases, I mean, you're not going to have many opportunities professionally as far as making a living.
And that's fine. And that's fine. I don't see how, because of that dynamic, that it should change what we're talking about in terms of playing players.
How much of this is about money, and how much of this do you think is about having a say-so at the table as far as the way they're dealt with, you know, medically and the way that they're represented as far as that goes?
I think a lot of it's money-driven. I mean, I really do. I think that there's more.
I love it.
I really believe
that.
The
root of all things.
Because I think, realistically speaking, probably things have extended way beyond what was normally expected. I mean, now you've got, you know, little you've got games out there with you know, pictures,
likenesses,
or likenesses
like that,
of players. You've got the Johnny Manziel type, you know, uniforms out there. You've got everything being sold way beyond what it used to be.
But I mean, addressed that, and they've already screwed it up with EA Sports. Now those games can't even have the numbers of the teams, and they can't even use it. It's ridiculous how far it's gone, as opposed to maybe just giving those kids a cut of that, I'd be fine with. But again, if you do for some, you have to do for all. That's kind of been the philosophy. And if that's what happens here, it could be the end in some cases of some, I think, athletic opportunities. The other question becomes for me, do you think we could ever see potentially they go, hey, fine, you know what? We're not going to pay anybody. No scholarships for anyone. If you want to come out, you get just the same chances you get. If you want to come out and play football or basketball, you come try out the same as everybody else, but you got to go to school on your own dime.
I think the problem with that is that the only subset that's going to be affected are going to be these private institutions. I mean, you know, the University of Arkansas is not going to be hurt. The, LSU is not going to be hurt. You know, Alabama's not going to be
hurt.
You don't
think kids would not go there if they, I mean.
They would go there, but they aren't going to be subjected to this kind of situation.
Do you
unless
think,
there
though?
Is a ruling by the NCAA or somebody else that changes all of the makeup of all of this, because they're going to say, hey, it's unfair for the private institutions to have to undergo this kind of rigorous scrutiny and have to deal with all of these things, and then the public institutions that are part of FBS to get away with it. So, I mean, I don't know. We have no idea how all of that would ultimately play out.
If private has the opportunity to essentially have a lot more leeway of what they do with students, if I'm a college football player or basketball player, I'm wanting to go to Notre Dame.
No, they would have less leeway.
Well, I understand, but if Northwestern is able to unionize and it's private schools,
it
and
would
they're
be more
able,
beneficial to the individual,
course,
yeah.
And there's no doubt. If I'm trying to recruit a kid and say, hey, we just unionized, here's the opportunities we can afford you as a private school, of course I'm going to a private school.
Yeah, it really screws the private schools to some degree, or makes it harder on them to basically work within the landscape of college athletics. But for the student-athlete, it's a spectacular advantage.
And that's a great recruiting tool. Hey, buddy, listen, we just unionized.
You get a
check,
kid from
Chicago.
Get this. If you get hurt, we're going to pay you down the road. I mean,
I think the biggest mistake that the NCAA ever made was not dealing with the situation of giving the student-athlete some monies to be able to use on a regular basis to help them just pay for chips, pay for food, pay for some necessary essentials on a regular basis, a stipend of some kind.
You know what, though? They do give that money. It's like, because I got the Pell Grant, I had money. I did. I had money. It wasn't, and I didn't understand the value of money. And that's the other point I wanted to make, and I know we're going to take a break, but I want to make after this break is, they're so afraid, and I think this is going to be so good for a 15, 16, 17-year-old kid to understand the value of money, the value of employment. Because when I was in college, I had zero idea what anything cost. All I did, I woke up, I went, there was free food at the chow hall, they gave me free sneakers, I had a free, and I had no value. I didn't understand what it all meant.
How much cash did you have after all your expenses were paid monthly? I mean, ballpark.
Well, after when I moved out of the dorm, they would give me a rent check each month, which was a standard couple thousand, whatever it was, for rent, utilities, and basically I was able to find a place that was low money. So I had enough money where, you know, if my girlfriend wanted things, I could get them things. No, I'm just kidding. But it was...
A couple $100 a month, $500 a month, what do you think you had extra? And again, remember, all your meals are free. And when I'm a college kid, all I really worry about is my food being provided and a place to live.
You don't think about that. And I do wish, though.
I like how you threw chips in there because it was beer money for us.
Because it's a learning...
Bruce was studying.
It's
a
learning
experience. Chips. We were drinking.
I think those kids at that age need to understand the value of money, what's so important about you working hard and learning what money is and how you make it and how you manage it. I think this is a good thing for the education of these high school kids. Like, what is my worth?
Yeah, but that's not the issue. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's going to... I'm like, you're... Whether it's an advantage for kids that are being recruited to go to private school or it's a disadvantage for the school, however you want to look at it, bottom line is you're talking about a completely different dynamic for public schools and private schools going forward, which probably isn't healthy because they all fall under the same NCAA umbrella. It's going to be difficult to manage.
Let me tell you something. The biggest ripoff in the United States of America, how much does it cost to go to Notre Dame a year?
Probably around $50,000.
$50,000 for 1 year of an education. You're telling me that's not highway robbery?
I didn't pay $50,000 for my entire 4 years.
And you're telling me every student?
Bruce is an attorney, and I'm a second-rate radio host on a midday show in Arkansas.
That is a ripoff. I'm sorry.
No, that's a ripoff. I don't disagree. I mean, I don't disagree at all. I mean, I think if you look at the cost of any, you know, of what they call elite-type universities, private universities, I think it's extremely expensive, and it's very hard for people to get into.
Yeah, you don't think ND? My poor sister's got $200,000 of debt because she went to BU.
That's my deal, too. And how long is it going to take you to make that money back where you can pay your bills, plus you're paying the school?
It's a ripoff, bro.
I mean, I walked out with like $10,000 in student loan debt, and that was a huge pain in the butt when I walked out making $15,000 in my first job. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm going, this will be $15,000, that's all I get? Really? It's going to be hard to pay back that student loan. I'll tell you what, it took a while. So it is interesting, though, when you think about that. It's the same dynamic as the Phil Jackson thing. If the Knicks win the next three NBA titles, Phil Jackson's not worth $12 million a year. I'm sorry, he's not. I don't care how much
if
good
they
he
win.
Does. If they win the next three NBA titles, he still ain't worth $12 million a year. $12
million
a year.
If they lose, what's he worth?
He definitely ain't worth it. And they're not going to win the next three NBA titles. My point is, it is kind of out of whack when you look at the big scheme of things.
Look at how much this guy's making, though, Justin. Jim Dolan, the New York Knicks make money, boatloads of money every year.
Let's not get off topic. My point is...
That's what my topic is with Notre Dame. They're making money hand over fist.
That's true. They're unique because they're a money-making machine. Not every school can say that, even private schools.
Do you know the head football coach from Everett, Massachusetts?
No.
Again.
Yeah.
But I mean, you also have to keep in mind, what about those schools where they're not making money?
Right.
What school isn't making money?
Lots of them.
There'll be lots of.
Then you know what? They need to do what everyone else is doing. Raise their prices.
You know what? We need to get Christy Dosh on again because I read her book. I can't remember all the details of it now, but it's alarming how few schools actually do well at the end of the day with their bottom line.
Of course they do.
It ain't that easy.
And the schools that aren't doing well, I guarantee you, they're not even in the NCAA tournament. They're not. They're schools that don't even care about athletics.
You have to keep in mind Title
IX. That is not
true. You have to keep in mind Title IX, which Justin mentioned earlier, because you have this obligation to have a certain number of athletic programs for female athletes, and it's going to be...
Give them scholarships.
Nobody makes money.
Many of them do, but I mean, those are non-revenue generating sports. In fact, they're losing money in most instances.
A lot of football programs don't make money, Pat. I know that's shocking to believe in the SEC.
I understand, but the overall school is making money.
No, the school is, but you're talking about you got to fund all these other things too. The athletic department itself, generally speaking, is not a money-making entity. It is a group that loses money at the end of the day.
Listen, the athletic department is part of the university.
Right.
And the whole university is making money. So they realize that the athletic department is part of, it's an arm of what we do.
Right.
And if it doesn't make money, if they can't sustain it, they'll drop it like they've done in other sports.
They have to start looking at it as a marketing tool because that has been proven out. The teams that have successful athletic programs, there is a benefit for enrollment.
What's wrong with giving girls basketball athletic scholarships at $50,000 a year and then paying Notre Dame football players money?
Because then you have to pay the swimmers.
No, why do you have
to? Pay the track because you have to.
No, why? Who says?
Because then you're going to get a whole different set of lawsuits.
Why is that a lawsuit?
Tell them, labor attorney.
Because there's a Title IX requirement under the law that says that you have to treat everyone equally.
Well, you're giving... All right, since we're this is a free society, right?
I
know we got to take a break, but can't we change laws?
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
seriously,
as long as the NCAA is involved, it's not nearly as simple as you think.
You know this.
Is.
There are still some laws where it says you can't even do certain things to animals in the middle of the.
But again, you're getting into extremes. Let's get back to a focus of a realistic conversation about it. You can't just snap your fingers and go, "I'm not going to pay you guys. I'm going to pay you guys." It's not that easy.
No, it's a process, and that's what the point is. Who made these rules, and whoever did can change these rules to make more sense for everybody.
Justin, real quick.
You're talking about schools and money. How much money does, like, University of Arkansas make in the part of an NCAA EA Sports football game?
They don't make any anymore because it doesn't exist.
Okay.
If you got a copy, hold on to it because they're not going to exist anymore.
I have a copy of it, but I don't like it because the Razorback fight song is not the Razorback fight song.
Okay, well, that's a whole other argument for a whole other show, my man.
Mm.
How much of a piece of that, I don't know how much they got. We got to take a break. We're against the top of the hour. Stay with us.